The Lord, say amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Samuel. Hold on, I'll tell you what chapter. 2 Samuel and chapter 18. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Second Samuel and the 18th chapter. Lord, we're grateful for Calvary. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus. And our God, fill thy servant with the Holy Ghost. Help me now in the preaching hour. Make preaching what you meant for it to be. Lord, you could make an eternal, everlasting, eternal difference in somebody's life tonight. And I'll thank you for it, Lord, and ask you for it in Christ's name. We pray. Amen. 2 Samuel in the 18th chapter. We have four families in Albania. We have four families on deputation going to Uganda. I think we have 13 missionaries in six countries. World Harvest Baptist Missions. And you youngins can look it up, whbmissions.org. We got four young single people. We've not counted them in the 13. All four are graduating Bible college in three different places, and they'll be on deputation. One going to Mexico, young lady going to Uganda, and two young men going on to Albania. And then we'll have six over there in Albania. We're not trying to be a big board. We just had to start our own board so no big board would tell us what to do. We're not trying to be big, but we're trying to do big. What about a missionary? Got four little girls and a little boy. What about a man and God give him a prayer like that? He's a quiet feller. He just prays. He prays. We was over there 1 year before he moved over. I had several young men, young preachers over there in Eastern Europe with us. We were staying in a high rise. I guess we was on the fourth, fifth floor. And he went up a floor above us in concrete buildings. And he laid out there on the floor praying for about 2 hours. And we didn't know somebody lived up there. And they came in late that evening, walked up, and he's laid out on their little veranda. And they came back down to us and said, "Something is wrong with your friend. He's laid down up there crying." And they thought he was drunk because they'd never seen a man pray. Amen. They'd seen a lot of drunk men, but they'd never seen anybody pray. You live in a country that hell has run for a while. All you will do is drink and then die. But I bless the Lord for it. Thought I'd mention that. Hadn't the Lord been real good to us? Amen. We're grateful for all the churches that brought the young people tonight. And isn't that good that somebody loves you enough to bring you to church? Amen. Somewhere there's a pastor that cares, and that's why you're here. Yes. It may be somewhere there's a parent that cares, and that's why you're here. Amen. You may not have either of those, but there is a God who cares, and that's why you're here. Well, the Lord's been real good to us around here. Thank you, Brother Sharp, for how the Lord let us have this meeting. 2 Samuel 18, if the Lord will help me, I'm going to preach a message. He's been bumping around my heart today. And then tonight, and I pulled up my sermons and looked at out of several hundred. That was the one. And I didn't know. I have no idea that what hadn't planted. And that was the one that was came up. And confirmed in my heart what the Lord wanted to say to the young people in that. And what the Lord wanted to say to the old people. I really don't see old people or young people. I really don't. I see men and women, boys and girls, and you're all people. Some of you have been on the earth longer than others. Some of you are longer than others. And some of you have only been on the earth a little while, but I don't really see any difference between youngins and old ones. I see people that are looking at the Lord, looking for the Lord. That's right. They'll be grown in just a minute. You were a child just a little while ago. Somebody said, do you need to bring it down to the children's level? No, just put it on the table. They get it quicker than grown folks. Grown folks is distracted. They have ceilings and limitations, idols and hidden sins. You can't hardly preach to older ones. But youngins, they like to come and sit on the Lord's lap. Y'all ain't helping me. So whether they want cookies or pizza, I'll be honest with you, they probably want lasagna or fried chicken. I don't know. When I was a kid, I wanted real food. We ain't got to put on a show for youngins. I want all the preachers, now I'm not rebuking you older preachers, but I want you younger preachers to listen. You ain't got to put a show on for a bunch of youngins. They like church when it's real church better than anybody else. Well, did you bring a kid sermon tonight? I brought a Jesus sermon tonight. They get it. Yes, sir, and they like it. The ones that like the Lord, they like it. Amen. All you youth pastors, relax. Quit trying to do what all the other silly youth pastors are doing. Have church. Quit texting the girls and have church. Y'all are supposed to talk to me right there. Amen. And Lord to help us, don't we? 2 Samuel 18. We come here to a chapter where Absalom is a type of the Antichrist. Look in verse 18. Now Absalom, now this is David's rebellious son who had conspired against him to take the kingdom. I'm in 2 Samuel 18, verse 18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar. Boy, I hope you do something besides that, young people. I hope you don't build something for yourself. I hope you give everything to God. Taken and built up. Reminds you of the image of Nebuchadnezzar. This is a little picture of the Antichrist. He's down in that valley and got a pillar that he's made for himself. I'm going to say, I expect you grown folk to back me up right here. These youngins are facing off with the Antichrist in the hour that we live. Y'all ain't helping me. 2,000 years ago, Christ was putting his church together. You and I live in an hour where the Antichrist is putting his church together. Look in verse 18, which is in the Kingsdale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day, Absalom's place. I know somebody else that ended up going to his own place. What about that? Jesus died without having any children. And this Antichrist, this mimicker of Christ, he too died that way. However, Absalom died and stayed dead. Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. And he's got children all over the earth tonight. Well, come down, David has a burden. Of course he does. He loves his son. Look in verse 24. David sat between the two gates. That's where we're going to sit tonight. Between two gates. Y'all with me? There's two roads. There's two paths. There's two masters, and you are going to serve one. Amen. Like you ain't going to serve either one. You're going to serve one. Yeah. Sat between the two gates. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gate and to the wall and lifted up his eyes. Aren't you glad that we got watchmen on the wall? Yeah. Boy, that was mighty weak right there. Yeah. I'm like the National Hockey League. I will put you in a 20-minute penalty box. So I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. Aren't you glad that we got watchmen on the wall? Amen. God always have a real preacher or two hanging around. A lot of hirelings, a lot of Absaloms, a lot of pretty boys making pillars for themselves. But there'll always be a watchman on the wall. I'm in verse 25. And the watchman cried. Now that's what they do. They lift up their voice and tell it. And the watchman cried and told the king. The king said, if he be alone, there's tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter. Aren't you glad that we got a porter? That's the keeper of the door. Well, there's a lot in here. I hadn't read this chapter today. I'm looking at that. That's the first time I've seen this in years. That's good stuff. The watchman said, methinketh, the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. Verse 27 is where I'm at. And the king said, he's a good man and cometh with good tidings. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. Aren't you glad there's some good men running? Oh, y'all got to back me up a little better. I mean, this penalty box, y'all are begging for it. Aren't you glad there's a good man running and he's got good tidings? Amen. He's a good man. He's bringing good tidings. Glad I had some good men running a race in front of me. Amen. Brought me some good tidings. Good to see you dead, Brother Burke. I remember we're going way back to the early 90s and late 80s there in Florida. It's good to see you. Here the king asked a question in verse 29. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Well, he wasn't. He was in big trouble. David had a broken heart for his son. Is the young man safe? Again in verse 32. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? Boy, the answers he was getting was not what he wanted to hear. In verse 33, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. The Lord will help me, I'll preach until I'm done. On is the young man safe? I want to ask y'all four things in rapid succession. Do you think the sons, and when we say sons, that includes all of mankind, it includes you young ladies. When God speaks of mankind, he thinks of Adam and Eve and all their children. God's able to make you a son tonight, and that goes for all the girls. Birth you in his family. I want to ask y'all this tonight. Do you think the sons in our nation are safe? Well, y'all got to talk to me. That 20-minute penalty box, you're begging for it. Let's try it again. Do you think that our children are safe in this nation tonight? When we take young people and all them four families we got in Albania, I think, I don't know how many girls, over 10 girls. All of our missionaries have daughters and little daughters. And every once in a while somebody asks them or somebody tells them, aren't y'all afraid that them little girls are in danger? Aren't y'all afraid? And I tell them this, the most dangerous part of our trip is in Atlanta. Or Charlotte. I landed in Chicago the other morning. I forgot where I was going to preach, but I had a layover in Chicago. And I came in and landed, and the sun was coming up on Lake Michigan. I think that's Lake Michigan. It is. The sun, and they came in over the city. And there's the skyline. And there's Lake Michigan, and the sun was arising. And that lake was just as orange and red. But I looked down there at Chicago and thought about how many got killed this weekend. Y'all ain't helping me. Our children, they said, what town was it? Kansas City. They're all going to be forced now, boys and girls, just go to one bathroom now. This school year in Kansas City. To avoid the transgender controversy and to make a handful of homosexual perverts somewhere in power in Washington, D.C. to make them happy. Going to force the boys and girls to share. And with everything that they're seeing on their phone and sending on their phone, do you think the bathroom's a safe place for your little girl to be in Kansas City? You go right over there, I don't know, just a handful of blocks when I leave here every night the last few years and get over there under that bridge where all them drug addicts are sleeping. Me and you went to Applebee's last night, and before you got there, here came a couple, I don't know what they were, begging for money. Do you think it's safe in our nation for our children? You think it's safe in our schools for our children? Now it's just, when is the next shooting? When and where's the next shooting? I remember as a boy standing on the Capitol steps with Jerry Falwell. My daddy was a pastor. I remember going out to Nebraska with David Gibbs and CLA where they chained the church up in Nebraska. I remember standing on the Capitol steps in Missouri and Jerry Falwell, the moral majority. I'm afraid we had an immoral majority. Men trying to save this nation. Is the young man safe? Are they safe in our churches? Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. Are they safe in our churches? I'm going to talk blunt and y'all better talk back to me or this can get real long tonight. You let these bunch of little sandal-wearing, Bermuda-short-wearing, little hip-hop youth pastors with the NIV, and the girls are more masculine than the little youth pastor men. All of them texting and tweeting, and you know what? Half of them's texting on their phone. Y'all ain't helping me. Bringing in contemporary music and interpretive dance. Y'all ain't helping me. One after another after another. In Pennsylvania, the case this week, how many thousands of Roman Catholic priests were abusing little boys? Came to light last week. You better watch out for this contemporary movement. It has a very sensual spirit. It's a dancing, sensual spirit. Boy, y'all are too quiet tonight. Are y'all old-fashioned churches or not? Are you old-fashioned churches or not? You don't know how many I run into. And they just had to get rid of the youth pastor. Some 23-year-old texting some 16-year-old. And he's got a wife and a baby. Let me tell you something. You open the floodgates of them sensual spirits, you will have other spirits. There's some words I do not like to use in church, but that thing will be turned over to flesh and fornication. I need y'all to help me. They're not safe in our churches. We ain't got enough pastors with enough backbone to tell some deacon's daughter, sit down and be quiet. We're not going contemporary. To sell some hip-hop youth pastor who's trying to impress his other 50 youth pastor friends on social media by taking kids in this new way. We need to take them down the old path, not the new way. Y'all are way too tight. We might be ringing a bell. We might be ringing your phone. We might be chopping on your stump. Honey, when it gets quiet, I go to church every night. I can't work on your computer. I ain't smart enough. I can't work on your car. That's for other fellas. But I can work on your church. I can work on your children. I've been called. Are our children safe in our churches? Are our children safe in our homes? Only a few of them. Only a few of them. There have been some monsters come through our homes. I'm going to say this, and y'all better come with me. You young and sitting here, if you got your mama and your daddy and they love each other and there's a family altar and you're raised in church, you need to walk out of this building and shout till Christmas that God's been really specially good to you. I said, if you got your mama and your daddy and they love each other and they got a Bible and an altar and y'all go to an old-fashioned church where somebody's trying to keep you out of hell, you ought to thank God for your blessings. Not everybody's got that. I was listening to you kids sing a while ago, I'm not going to hell. And I heard the other kids singing along with them. Ain't you glad there's some old-timey songs in this generation? Appreciate that, Pastor. Jesus, what a wonderful name. Every morning when I wake up, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I'm not going to hell. Glad y'all wasn't naked. Glad you wasn't in leotards. Glad you wasn't dancing. Glad you wasn't swaying. Glad it wasn't a soundtrack from a Pentecostal bookstore. Y'all ain't helping me. Listen to them kids sing that, I'm not going to hell. My first trip in Albania, them orphans, I'm talking about, is the young man safe? In Uganda, 40 million people live in a country the size of Alabama, and 25 million of them starving little kids running the streets. The black market for human organs. One of the largest contributions to the GDP of Albania for a long time. If you was rich and had a sack full of money and fly over, if you needed a heart, if you needed a lung, if you needed a liver. I hate to talk about these things. You could buy your own orphan and go out back and the doctor would do the transplant. They'd bury the body and then you'd go back to wherever you came from with a new organ. I stopped a while ago and need to say it again. We're pretty blessed here in America. They pulled up the shirt, the back of a little girl, and there was a scar and they said at least she lived. Youngins, I don't think anybody's going to come in here tonight and snatch you up and take you out back and bury you in an hour, missing some of your organs. That's what communism will give you. That's what Muslims will give you. Y'all ain't helping me. Is the young man safe? Is the young man safe? I'm going to say a few things right out of the Bible. I'm going to lift up. We're going to reach in the Bible tonight and pull out some young people just for a while. Is that all right? Yeah. Topical preaching tonight. I don't want to hear anybody doing topical preaching that ain't been doing expository study for at least 20 years. We don't need to hear what's on the top of your head when there ain't nothing in the bottom of your head. Help me right there now. But if you'll allow me tonight, we'll reach in the scriptures just all through and pull out different young people and ask if they're all right. Is that all right tonight? Absalom. Is he all right? Is the young man Absalom safe? No, he's in love with himself. He's got that long hair. I'm going to say something. Y'all need to come with me. I'm not going to be ugly to these youngins. I'm not going to be a smart aleck. We realize not everybody was raised in church. But let me teach just for a minute. The Bible said for the young women that your hair is your glory. And for the young men, your glory is your godliness. Your holiness is your glory. The glory of young men is their strength, says Proverbs. That means them early years giving your best to God. Absalom had that long hair. Reared up a pillar for himself. Gloried. You know what he did, Brother Sharp? Down there whispering in the gates. Whispering in the ears. You could have said about Absalom, he had the ears of the young people. Well, he did. He had the ears of the men. He had the ears of the young people. Them old men loved David, but them young men loved Absalom. Somebody said, well, he's got the ears of the young people. And you better back up and see exactly what that means. Who's got the ears of the young people? You better be careful who's got the ear of your young people. Who's whispering in your daughter's ear? This social media is so dangerous. It destroys young couples when they hit their 30s. Because they get tired of each other. They didn't start out in the love of God. Started out in the lust of the flesh. Get on social media, Facebook, and find an old high school flame. Do you know God spent the most of your life getting you separated from people? He never said come out from among things. He said come out from among them. God will spend most of your life culling out dangerous people, toxic people, sinful. Y'all got to talk to me tonight. He'll spend many years getting the dangerous people out of your life, and one hit in the keyboard or one on your phone, and everybody that ever brought hell in your life is back in your life if you ain't careful. My daddy's old pastor, he said that World Wide Web is exactly that. It is a web. God help us tonight with what these young men are already entangled and ensnared in. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? There's certain words I don't like to use in church. This is a holy place. It's a clean place. But them phones, our boys, most of them, are y'all hearing what I'm... They know what I'm saying. And I'm not being ugly to these precious young ladies, but girls are so forward in this hour. The kids will tell you what's happening in the schools, in between class, and they run in the restroom and take that phone out. And brother, before supper, every young man is done seen. Y'all ain't talking to me. Oh, is the young man safe? Who's got the ears of your youngins? Absalom had the ears. I'll tell you, Absalom was not safe. He was ruined by his own rebellion. He was ruined by his own rebellion. I don't know what all transpired between David and Absalom. There's some things to be studied there. But he was ruined by his own rebellion. He was too tall. He was too good looking. He was too much of a people. He was too gifted. And he knew it. Hey, girls, don't you get you one of these pretty boys. Their mamas had to spoil them, and you're going to have to spoil them next. And that shark tooth wiggling between their three chest hairs that they glued on, down there at the car wash. Where do y'all cruise at? Where do you hang out? It's Hardee's in some, and it's a car wash in others. Sneedville, I don't know where they hung out in Sneedville. I've been up there. We'll stop and say this. Y'all better help me right here. Youngins, you can say amen. You're a lot better off in church on a Friday night than you are cruising out there on a Friday night. You're a lot better off here in a little while. We'll be at McDonald's or steak and shake. And if you got any sense about you, you just go straight to cookout. Yes, neighbor. 40 flavors. I say, put them all in there. I confuse them every time. What, sir? Put them all in. All 40! I'm a paying customer. All 40. I can't get nobody to do it yet, but I request every time. I get the manager sometimes. You want what, sir? You heard me, sir. I want walnut. And then because it's the manager, I just back off then, you know. Watermelon. Eggnog in December. Watermelon in July. Whew, raise both hands and thank you. That's good stuff right there. You boys? Yes. Yes. Oh, I got news for you tonight. Don't you marry one of these pretty boys. Don't you marry one of these flirting boys. They ain't going to be done being in love with theirself after they marry you. They're not going to be done flirting with girls either after they marry you. Y'all got to talk to me. Show you one broken heart after another, one broken home after another. Won't you get you one of these front row boys? Find the one that's saying amen. The one that goes to the altar first, girls, get on down there by him. Pray stuff out loud. Say, Lord, give me this one. and bump him when you bump his arm when you say it. That's kind of spiritual. God wouldn't be mad at you. Absalom. He's ruined by his rebellion. You know how he died? You kids like prophecy? You better. Jesus is coming back in your generation, probably. You know how the Antichrist died? He died hanging on a tree with 3 darts in him. How did our Savior die? He died on a tree with 3 nails. And it was his glory. Absalom is the Antichrist. He too died, Absalom. He's a type of it. He died on a tree with 3 darts stuck in. Let me tell you something. That cross is going to judge you one way or the other. Y'all are not helping me right there. You're going to answer to that cross. You're going to give a cat. You're going to crawl up on that cross and ask the Lord to save you, or you're going to die because of that cross judging you one way or the other. Yeah. Hung by his hair. Yep. Yes, that's right. Y'all better back up off of social media popular preachers. Go ahead and look at me and go ahead and be quiet. You better watch out for social media popular preachers. There ain't no man of God ever operated in glory and in his own glory. God's men walking to the king's throne. Honey, John the Baptist got his head chopped off. Paul got his head chopped off. John was boiled in oil. With the offscouring and the filth of the world, he said, we apostles are. Boy, y'all are just looking at me. Absalom! That glory's going to get hung up on that cross in a minute. It'll be 3 darts in your heart. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say to us? I'm telling you, in an hour, in a nation where people are enthralled with a Joel Osteen and the glamour and the glitter of a spotlight generation, you better be real careful what you're looking at. Them real preachers are bearing a reproach. They get more dislikes than likes. I would go on Facebook, but there ain't no dislikes. I'm going to invent a Facebook with dislikes. Amen. They told me about that other social media outlet, Instant Ham, and I've been looking everywhere, and I can't find it. But I'm excited. Yeah, Instant Ham. I heard about it. Absalom, ruined by his rebellion. How about Samson? There's another long-haired one. Now his hair was long because God had commanded for him to be a Nazarite. But Samson thought too much of the gifts that God gave him. He was lost to lust. If Absalom was ruined by his own rebellion, Samson was lost to lust. And he kept going down there laying his head in Delilah's lap until finally she cut off his glory. I'm going to say something to the young people tonight. Samson going after them strange women, couldn't stay away from them Philistine women. Can I say something to the young people tonight? You better be careful who you hang out with. Your friends is who you're going to date. You're going to date somebody out of your circle of friends when you get old enough. And then who you date is who you're going to marry. And then I'm going to make a little announcement here and see if this is too brilliant of an observation for y'all. Who you marry is who you're going to live with. That was a brilliant observation right there. But you're going to live with who you marry. And you're going to marry who you date. And you're going to date with who you hang out with. Samson kept going off over there looking for that strange flesh. Can I say something to all the young people? Your flesh is strong. The older you get, the stronger it gets. You better get some things determined in your heart that you're going to keep yourself pure until the day you walk down that aisle. You got to determine it ahead of time. If you got a good mom and daddy, girls, if you got a good mom and daddy that will not let you get in the car and ride off with a boy, you ought to thank God that you got a good mom and daddy. Who in the world would let their girl get in the car with a boy and turn up the jungle music and ride off? What do you think's going to happen? They're not going to study the Southern Baptist Quarterly for this coming Sunday. They're not going to be studying Sunday's lesson. Oh, youngins, the only kind of fire that'll overcome the fires of the flesh is Holy Ghost fire. You better get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the only fire hotter than that natural fire. Samson, not safe. How about the rich young ruler? Came to Jesus, fell at his feet, called on him. Boy, you'd think he could get saved, don't you? Do you think we got somebody running to the Lord, falling at his knees to come be saved? Don't you think that Jesus could win him to the Lord? Since he was the Lord? Jesus knows what it is you're hanging on to. He said, sell all you got and come back and let's talk. And he went away sorrowful. He was married to his money. Now you youngins, this ain't going to mean much to you, but some of you college kids, you better make a choice early on that the love of money is the root of all evil. Where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. Just go with God. He'll be good to you. He'll be better to you than you could be to yourself. Married to his money. My daddy went to Idaho. I was 2 when he heard the Macedonian call. North Georgia, young preacher sitting up on the platform. I skipped the story. God called him, sent him out to Idaho. Church of 5. Out to the desert, an actual desert. A desert with a name. A desert with rattlesnakes. A desert with tumbleweeds. Town wasn't but 300 people. Dad said when he got to that church, there's one old woman running it. And said a year later when he left, she was still running it. The little black boy said, sometimes that's just how things be. That's what he said. But that was Dad's boot camp. That was his initial step out into the ministry. Never looked back. Spent the next 50 years serving God. Amen. Got out there and went out there for $20 a week. We came up on Christmas time. Didn't have any money. I think I was 3. Dad had tried to cut wood, but there's no wood in the desert. He tried to paint a house, but there's only 7 houses, and they didn't need paint. Got down and prayed that morning, Lord, we ain't going to have anything for supper if you don't help us. On the other side of the nation from anybody that cared about us. What I'm fixing to tell you is the truth. About 10 o'clock that morning, somebody knocked on the door. Preacher, we just come off a pheasant hunt. And somebody said, there's a new pastor in town. We got too many over our limit. We don't want to get caught. Here's some pheasant. Hour later, I can get my daddy to tell you this. A knock on the door is one of the old men in the church. Preacher, we unplugged our fridge. We're going to defrost our deep freeze. And we got all these trout. You want some trout? Afternoon. Here comes somebody in town. Had killed an elk. And brought the whole thing of venison. Said, we've already got our freezer full. None of these people knew each other. Dad hadn't talked to a soul. And that night, fourth time, door knock. And it was a little old woman in the church, not the mean one. Other little old woman in the church, preacher. We did our grocery shopping today, and the Lord told me to buy y'all some groceries. Sat down that night with bread and butter and milk. And Daddy looked at Mom and said, you know what? And I was sitting there, I was probably three, and I'm sure I was behaving. I was a wonderful child. My older sister was mean as three devils, but I was a good kid. I got all her whippings because she lied about everything. Or that's how I recall my childhood. We were sitting around that, me and my older sister. None of the rest of them been born yet. There's six of us. And Dad said, Mom, do you realize that trout and pheasant and this particular kind of venison is what kings used to, this is called king's meat. Kings in olden times. Trout and pheasant and elk. I got news for you, youngins. He'll give you the best he's got. If you'll give him the best you got. If you'll give him the first years of your life, he'll give you the best in the latter years of your life. Samson, rich young ruler. How about the prodigal son? He was headed to the hog slop. He's one of the only ones that made it back. You hear me? Most folk don't make it back. Most folk don't make it back. Prodigal. He's headed to the hog slop. You know what he prayed two prayers in Luke 15? First of all, he said, give me. You know what he said to his daddy? Give me everything. But you know what he prayed at the end of that chapter? Make me as one of thy hired servants. Honey, he went out saying, give me everything. But he came back saying, make me nothing. Make me nothing. Oh, he was headed to the hog slop. The prodigal. How about Rehoboam? Rehoboam. Brother Burke, find 2 Chronicles chapter 10, please, and verse 8. Rehoboam, and if Absalom was ruined by rebellion, Samson was lost to lust, the rich young ruler was married to his money, the prodigal was headed to the hog slop. Rehoboam had a problem with the blind following the blind. 2 Chronicles, I think, chapter 10, verse 8. Read it slowly for me. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him. I need everybody to look at me for one country second. We got a real problem in the South in our churches. We got a bunch of young men following each other, listening to each other, counseling each other, leading each other. We got a scourge of silent fathers and silent forefathers. Y'all are not helping me. Rehoboam! Balaam forsook the counsel of the old men. And him and the young men brought up with him, they just started leading each other. A dear pastor friend of mine was standing at the checkout counter in a grocery store in North Carolina. And a young man who had gone full-blown contemporary, he was raised in old-fashioned Holy Ghost, King James, blood of Calvary, power of God, shouting and running. Old time! Separated Baptist church! That's how he's raised. But he defected. Went this new way where you drop all your standards and adopt everything that the contemporary movement is bringing in our churches and stealing from our churches. And he made a statement. My pastor friend called me immediately when he walked outside. He was stunned and devastated. I've heard this twice now. Here's what this young man said who was raised right. He said, I can't wait for these old preachers in North Carolina to go ahead and die and get out of the way so we can reach these younger people in this new way. These old men are standing in the way. That's a quote. That ought to disturb you pretty deeply. I don't know if you heard what I said. He said, I can't wait for all these old-fashioned preachers in North Carolina to die and get out of the way because they're hindering us from reaching all these young people in this new way. Rehoboam. He was in bad shape because he'd forsook the old preachers and the old paths. And he was listening to the young men. Is the young man safe? Is the young man safe? In Proverbs 7, verse 7, there's a young man void of understanding, turned aside in the way of the harlot. Turned aside as she cried in the streets. I call this boy Void. Just a young man named Void. Turned aside when the harlot called him. Oh, young people tonight, let me say this to your hearts. In America, on every turn and every bend in your precious young lives, there is sin calling you. On every turn, on every corner, don't be void. Empty, hollow, a pit on the inside, a great void. A young man void of understanding. You'll die like Solomon. Brought all them strange wives in. Filled the Lord's temple with all them pagan gods. You know what he said in Ecclesiastes? Vanity of vanities, all is vexation. I've seen everything under the sun, and it's all vanity and vexation. There was an hour when he lived under the S-O-N. And he was writing songs then, the Song of Solomon. He was singing when he was right with the Lord. But he was suicidal after he brought in 1,000 strange women and filled the Lord's house with their idols. Is the young man safe? How'd you like for God to send a revival in Knoxville that would actually turn this city upside down? And in the following months, in the aftermath and the after effects, the power of God rumble on through and get stronger in our churches and stronger in our children. Okay, y'all are doing good. We're getting pretty close to the cookout milkshakes. Can I run through some good, can I pull some good ones out now? Can I do that? I pulled out a handful of ones that went bad. And I'm sorry I had to holler at you, but I had to holler at you. Because we don't want to lose a one of you. Amen. And I don't want to lose a one of you. Had to warn you on what some of the bad ones look like. And we don't want it to be you 7 years from now. 5 years from now, from age 16 to 22, you'll make every decision that'll set the course for the rest of your life. And anymore, Brother Tom, it ain't 16, it's 12 and 13. They're being faced with decisions. You're looking at one preacher that's on the side of the youngins. They're not the problem. We got parents that ain't godly. We got preachers that ain't got a backbone. I ain't never scolded teenagers. I ain't never kicked them. I ain't never berated them. They're trying to figure out what this thing's about because they're having to grow up in our pitiful homes. They're having to grow up in our weak churches. They're having to grow up in our ungodly nation. It ain't their fault. I started preaching when I was 13. I knew him in Florida in Palatka when I was 19 and 20. We go way back. And they called me when I was a teenager. Come over here, they need a teenage revival. Bless God, straighten out our teenagers. Well, I was a teenager. And I knew that it wasn't us that caused all that. I never did chew out teenagers. I've been preaching now 36 years. I ain't going to start tonight. But I will warn you. I will do my... I'll pray for God to speak it in your heart. Because can't nobody... You got a bent. You got a direction in your heart. There's a little in your heart. And you're either going to go with God or you ain't. And ain't nobody going to help you or stop you. Amen. Some of you got the best parents and the best preachers. And you're determined to go to hell. And you're going to. And we'll see you there one day. And it's going to be awful. And some of you ain't got nothing going for you except in your heart. You love the Lord. And you'll come through three hells and overcome every one of them and end up in a place with the power of God in your life. You want to look at some good ones? This won't take long. The translation on that is, this won't feel like a long time to me. That's the interpretation on that. This won't take long. Can I say some things here? I'm going to say them in rapid succession. Them other ones didn't go in rapid succession. Turned out I lied about that. Let's see if these will go in rapid succession. We need some Daniels. Is the young man Daniel safe? Yes, because he's purposed in his heart that he'll not defy himself with the portion of what all them Babylonians are putting on his table. All right, I'm going to say it one more time. Is the young man Daniel safe? Yeah. Because he's got a window and he's going to pray out of it no matter what anybody says. Woo! David. Is the young man David safe? Won't you ask a big old giant that lost his head one day. Is the young man David safe? Yes, he's safe. Why? Because he learned to worship early. Hey! He had a flock and he had a harp and he had a father and he obeyed his father and he played his harp for Jesus and he killed lions and bears and tigers. Oh my, sorry, I get that. He killed lions and bears for God! For the flock! I said he learned to worship early and he learned to warfare early. He'd play that harp. He had a harp. He had a shepherd's staff. And he obviously had a sword. He went out there and slew that lion and cut him up and got that lamb out of his mouth. Is the young man David safe? Yeah, he's safe. Saul's going to try to kill him. Philistine's going to try to kill him. David's own sin nature is going to try to kill him. But he just can't and won't because he'd learned to worship early. Is he safe? Safe. How about them three Hebrew boys? Are they safe? Well, they don't look safe. There's a king and an entire nation staring at them. The music is playing. The music is playing. The world is bowing before the Antichrist. The image of the beast is there, Nebuchadnezzar. Some said it was 90 foot tall. They're captive in a faraway land. Are they safe? They're not sure. They say, we're not sure. We don't know if God will deliver us, but we know that He can. Yeah, And we don't know if he's going to or not, but we know what we're going to do. We know what we're going to do. We done had a three-way discussion. We're not going to bow before the image of the Antichrist. Antichrist had a six-part band. There's six instruments mentioned in the Antichrist band. A sackbut. I have no idea what that is, but I'd have named it something else. A psaltery, septimbal, a cornet. I mean, I ain't going to look it up. I don't want to know what those things were. But there is six instruments in the Antichrist band. You know what they didn't have, Brother Jamie? Pastor Sharp, you know what they didn't have? They didn't have a trumpet. Y'all supposed to be running ahead of me. Y'all been going to church longer than 6 months. You need to be running ahead of me. That was a trumpet that called you out of hell. Am I right? That man of God lift up thy voice like a trumpet. That was a trumpet that sounded in the church when you learned to shout. It was not given an uncertain sound. Talk to me about them Corinthians trumpets that give an uncertain sound. Y'all know when you hear them preachers and you hear them songs and it's an uncertain sound. It's a trumpet going to get us out of here. Yeah. I got 7 points on that trumpet thing, so leave me alone, Reggie. Quit egging me on. You know better than to egg me on. Tell you what they did have, Tommy. They had a cornet. You know what a cornet is? It's a little trumpet, not big enough to be a trumpet. A man with a master's degree in music told me what a cornet does. He said it gives a muted sound and a mellow sound. I'm glad I didn't get raised up under them muted, mellow cornet preachers.
Amen. How to get along with your boss for a month. Going to teach that Sunday on every day ought to be Friday.
Now, I do have a sermon on you ought to have a cookout milkshake every day, but that's a different thing. No, I was raised under some of them trumpet preachers. Are them three Hebrew boys safe? Well, if you read Daniel, you'll find out they were. That furnace was heated up 7 times hotter, and they got tossed in it. The only people that killed was the men that threw them in. I got news for y'all. The crowd trying to kill you for making a stand for God are the only ones that's going to die. Youngins, you hear me? The only ones going to end up dead are the ones that are trying to persecute you for living godly. Amen. I was 16 down there on the job. My daddy was a great man of God, but he had a bad habit of lying. That's one of the Ten Commandments. I tried to tell him that. Actually, I never told him that. He believed in whooping a youngin. But in my head, I told him so many times. I was 9 the first time I realized Daddy had this lying problem. He took me downtown, a little newspaper thing, and they had newspaper boys, and Dad looked at that man and said, "Dean here wants to work." And he's a preacher. "Dean here wants to work." He's told that to several men through my life. When he told Johnny Soulsby down there, the block mason, to mix concrete, "Dean here wants to work with you." I was like, no. "Dean here wants to watch cartoons and the Three Stooges. Dean wants to eat popsicles. Dad's lying. Dean here wants to work." Jennifer still tells that same thing. She picked it up from Dad. "Honey, I know you want to fix this for me." "Yes, ma'am." I was 16, worked there for a year, made pizzas and subs. Girl from our church worked there too, deacon's daughter, preacher. But you know what? They were all drinking. Bunch of young people. They was all drinking. They were being together, slipping off alone, sleeping together. They were experimenting with dope. The day I left that little job, they had a little making fun of me party. They brought me a big old pacifier. Brought me a bib. And mocked me with a big, looked like a champagne thing, but it was grape juice. And listen, I was so naive, this is true, I didn't know they were making fun of me. I just thought, wow, grape juice. I only get this at the Lord's Supper. This is amazing. Because I want some and we can't afford it. And I was like, this is so strange. The pacifier and the bib. Come on, kids, that was raised sheltered. Help me now. I didn't even know I'd been made fun of. And I got home and Dad said, they're making fun of you. I said, that's weird. That cost a lot of money to make fun of me. Everybody wants some grape juice? Come on now. Christian party. Let's get it on. Amen. Bring out the Cheerios. We'll eat them without milk. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Christian party. We'll go to bed at 9:30 instead of 9. Hey, got grape juice tonight. It ain't even the Lord's Supper. Yeah, they made fun of me. You know where the boy is that instigated that little mockery party? He's dead. He's dead after a life of drugs. Died and went to hell. He's in hell as we speak. You know where the church girl is that was supposed to be my friend? We got to the church together. She should have stood with me down there. You know where she is? She's an old rundown single wide trailer with 4 kids from 3 men. Working a midnight shift at Walmart, living by herself in pure misery. I like them 3 Hebrew boys. They stood together. Let me tell you something. You stand alone until somebody else gets over there with you, and then you can stand with them. Are them boys safe? Yes. They come through the fire. They were fine. How about Moses? Is the young man Moses safe? Yeah, he's safe. His mama put him in an ark. She didn't commit an abortion. She didn't kill her little male Hebrew baby. I'm going to say something. She put him in an ark and sealed it and turned him over to God. I need a bunch of youngins in here and grown folk to thank God. If you had a mom and daddy that did not kill you, and that gave you to God and put you in the church and put you in the Bible. Amen. How about Joshua? Is the young man Joshua safe? Yes, he is, because he's staying in the tabernacle after everybody else has left. He's going up in the mountain with Moses. He's down in the valley fighting the flesh, fighting the Amalekites. He's safe. Is the young man Elisha? Is Elisha safe? Yes. Sure he is. He done burned them 12 yoke of oxen, burned the oxen, sacrificed them, gave them to God, got under that mantle and headed out with God. He is safe because he's under a mantle. Amen. Yes. He's the young man Timothy. Is Timothy safe? Yes. Yeah, he's safe. He's holding on to his heritage. What did Paul tell Timothy? See, when I see thee, remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee and the tears of thy mother. I see thy tears, I remember your mother and your grandmother. Y'all ain't helping me. Honey, them tears drip down in his soul from his grandmother and his mother. Oh, if you got a heritage in here tonight, you ought to thank God for it. He held on to that heritage. Timothy. Joseph. Is the young man safe? Is the young man Joseph safe? Oh, he's going to go through a mighty hard journey, but God's going to keep him safe. Yeah. Through the pit and through Potiphar's house and through the prison and through everything that he went through. But he's safe because he never quit trusting God. Amen. He's safe because he fled from sin. Potiphar's wife kept grabbing a hold of him and making passes at him and coming after him. She grabbed his coat and the Bible said she fled. Can I teach you young people a Bible principle? The only way that you can overcome the lust of the flesh, especially in this naked, wicked hour that we live. Old Testament said he fled from sin. Paul told Timothy, flee from fornication. You can't handle it. Boys, you're supposed to like girls. As soon as you get old enough, marry one of them and you can live with her the rest of your life. You can eat Cheerios without milk and buy grape juice when you get enough money. You're supposed to like girls. Girls, it's natural for you to be attracted. But I got news for you. Flee, fornicate. You're going to have to run away from it. You got to run hard. It's the only thing the Bible ever gave us. You can't handle the temptation of the flesh. Flee. Means get out of there. Means get out of there. Get out of there quick. Get out of there. 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 We may never get you back if you don't get out of there. Get out of a relationship where y'all are messing with each other. Hang out with your pastor. Go to revivals. Girls, hang out with your pastor's wife. Hang out at the church. Get with three other weird friends who love their Bible and love their preacher and hang out with them. Amen. When the music plays, get out of there. Make a stand. I don't know how to help these youngins. Music is so powerful. Rock music, country music, these different genres. Youngins, get out of there. Get out of there. Get out of there! I'm going to holler it for a little while. And it'll be repeated one day in the back seat somewhere. It'll be repeated someday at a party when mom and daddy ain't there and the preacher ain't there. I want to say it and they'll hear it. Get out of there! 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 You're going in there and her pathway leads to death. It leads to hell. He that goeth in, you won't be able to get back out. Get out of there! Get out of there! I'm going to tell you a story. It humiliates me. I'm the bad person in this story. I'm the villain. I'm ashamed to tell it today. But I'm going to tell you a little story. It won't take 15 seconds. I think I was 14. I was out behind the picnic tables, and it was a beautiful girl, and I liked her. And I tried to kiss her. I wanted to kiss her. And she said, no. I said, what? And she said, here's what she said. She said, my preacher wouldn't like it. And I thought, I'm not kissing your preacher. He ain't supposed to like it. No, I didn't think that. I was immediately ashamed because I knew my preacher wouldn't like me acting that way either. I'm ashamed to tell y'all that. But I've told on myself. But what impressed me in that story was that she had a preacher. And he wasn't texting at midnight. And he wasn't Absalom hip hop. And he wasn't watering it down and scared and letting everybody else run the church but him, bringing a bunch of junk in the church. He was a preacher. And he stopped her from stepping into fornication. He says, just a kiss. It never ends with just a kiss. Save your body for your husband, for your wife. When you walk down the aisle in a white dress, it ought to mean something. Yes, she said, my preacher. So tonight, I want to be my preacher for somebody. Get out of there. A lot of you's already got a good preacher. Well, you'll have a good evangelist. Maybe one day you'll say, my preacher and my evangelist, they wouldn't like that. Get out of there. Get out of there. When they pull that joint out, get out of there. When they grind up the pills, just get out of there. When she starts this, and they get out of there. When they crank up that music and you a beer, get out of there. Get out of there! Where am I getting out of? You're probably getting out of hell. Amen. How many people in hell tonight wish they could get out of there? Amen. Oh. And how many in hell can hear all through eternity some preacher screaming like I am right now? Amen. Sounding a trumpet, not a cornet. Right. Not a miniature, muted, mellow sound. But a clear, loud sound. Get out of there. And you young couples flirting with other people, get out of there. That ain't your wife. Get out of there. As the young men Joseph safe. Only got two more. Y'all doing all right? Amen. Titus. Is that young man Titus? Paul said, set in order the things. I left thee in Crete. Amen. Set it in order. You know why he is safe? Barbarous island. Some of the meanest people you'd ever pastor. Beast, barbarian, slow bellied, full of venom. He said, shut their mouths. Boy, that's a commission, ain't it? Timothy got to pastor that church at Ephesus. Old saints, one of the oldest churches with a bunch of sweet old saints. He cried like his mom and grandma. Boy, you go by there, it was a hugging and crying all the time. Let's go see Titus. Rather not, let's go see Timothy. Timothy's got the retirement home and everybody, they're handing out honey cakes and they love each other. Where's Titus? He's over there on the island with scorpions and serpents. But he was safe. You want to know why? He stayed where God put him. He stayed where God put him. I ain't done preaching. Are y'all okay? He stayed where God put him. He stayed where God put him. He stayed where God put him. I'm going to say something, young people. I didn't pray about any decisions till I was 30. I just did what the men of God in my life told me to do. Jesus was subject to his mother till age 30 and his father when he went home. Y'all ain't helping me. I said I didn't pray about any decisions until I was about 30. That's the truth. I went to college at 18. I'd married in my 20s. I was pastoring at 21. I still didn't make no decisions. You know what I did in high school? Everything my daddy told me. You know what I done when I graduated high school? I did what my pastor and my dad and the evangelist told me. Somebody said, then what are you going to do? I said, what am I going to do? They said, you're a preacher, boy. You're going to Bible college. Right. I'm going to Bible college. This is a true story. Where are you going to college? Where am I going to college? You're going to Bob Gray's College in Jacksonville, Florida, said Ron Garris. Told my daddy that's where he needs to go. Guess where I went? I went where the men of God told me to go. I was a freshman. A senior girl tried to marry me the first year. Her mama cooked supper every night. I was for it. I was going to marry the steak and just live with her, you know. She was a good person, but none of it was right. We talked for 2 months. I went home for the summer to work. That's what my pastor, my daddy told me to come home and work. I got home and my daddy said, that girl's too old and she ain't for you. Break up with her. True story. Walked over to the phone. Had one of them cords that you could take into the next county. I was trying to get away from all my little brothers. They were going to watch me break up with a girl. It was pretty neat. It was the first time it ever happened in our house. Jason, Chad, and Jonathan. All little brothers are mentally handicapped. The only thing worse than little brothers is older sisters. They're from the far side of the pit. I mean, I don't feel that way anymore, but I said, hey, I'm breaking up with you. It was her birthday. I didn't know it. I hadn't thought of that. She's probably still getting therapy today. I don't know. I said, ma'am, I don't understand the language of hysterical woman. I'm only 19 and I've never heard that. I need an interpreter. Hey, my older sister, I got a hysterical girl on the, what? I don't know what she's saying. I said, why? I was like, well, there's only one why, but I can't come up with three. But I said, my pastor told me to. You ain't the one. And I got to go. Mama's got supper ready. So bye. That was that. We got like four people contact me the next day. It was her birthday. It was a new beginning for her or something. I don't know. Yeah. He said, did you like her? Did you like her? Did you go? What did you do? I did what I was told. Y'all ain't help. I stayed where I was put.
Amen.
Obeyed my authorities. The Iron Curtain collapsed. I wanted to go to Russia and Romania. I was wanting to be a missionary and I was wanting to collude. I wanted to find out about it. I wanted to collude with Russians. I still do. All the wrong people's against it. I'm for it. Whatever it is, I'm for it. I wanted to go to Russia, Romania. Little church called me the pastor. I called my pastor, his pastor, and our evangelist. Three men. I said, you know, I want to go be a missionary in Russia. You need to take that little church, son. You got some growing up to do. But I want, son, take the church. Okay. I called the church back. I'm coming to your pastor. Because I was told to. I was still finishing school, and I finished school. Tried to quit my junior year. It got too hard. And then something got harder. It was my dad putting his foot on my rear end. It was harder than quitting. He said, we don't quit around here. What we do is smack boys in the head that do quit. We don't quit. Okay, I did what I was told. God saved Jennifer, sent her in there. I called my dad and my pastor. They said, she just got saved. Give her a year. We'll see if she's the one. I said, I want to marry her. Give it a year. I gave it a year. Amen. I went back. I still think she's the one. Well, marry her, son. And my dad, why ain't you married her yet? Old men forget sometimes what they said. We've all been waiting on you to marry. Well, good. And I married her. And I wanted to quit my church because there was Baptist. There was this thing inside the church. There was Baptist in it. And I wanted to quit my church. Hey, can I go be a missionary now? I want to quit my church. Son, you don't quit your church just because there's problems. Stay where you... Okay. And then I was like, are y'all ever going to tell me anything I want to hear? Been waiting 20 years to hear something I wanted to hear. But it ain't what I needed to hear. It's what I needed in my life.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why Titus was safe, because he stayed where he was put.
Amen.
And he put things in order. Sometimes revival is not chilly willies down the spine and somebody screaming and shouting. Sometimes it is that. But a lot of times it's just determined to be obedient.
Amen.
That'll turn your life around.
Amen.
I'm done with this. Y'all been good. Oh, Isaac. Was he safe?
Amen.
When he got laid on that altar, hey, you think he is nervous? A fire? A blade? Is the young man Isaac saved? Yeah. He's in the hands of his daddy, but he's better than that, in the hands of his father.
Amen.
Y'all look at me, young people. I'm going to say one thing. You've been so good, so attentive. Is the young man safe? I'm reminded, and some of y'all probably went and listened to 10 shekels and a shirt after I recommended the other night. Dr. Paris Reedhead tells about the two boys. I believe it was early 1800s. The Moravian Brethren, the Moravian Church. They were a praying bunch. Out of that Reformation, in the land of Moravia, it's a biblical church, a praying little bunch. Two young men started a missions revival that went on for 200 years. They had heard of an island. Great Britain, England, was the world empire at the time. The boast of Britain was the sun never set on her colonies, on her kingdom. And they'd heard of a South Pacific island where a cruel British landlord owned the whole island. I don't know if he was a lord or a duke or an earl, but he owned the whole island. He had 2,000 slaves, 2,000 black slaves. He hated God. He said he was an atheist. And he declared that he'd never let the gospel come on his island. The two young men in their early 20s in the Moravian church heard about this. God burdened their heart. And they determined to take the gospel to that island. You know what they did? They sold themselves into a life of slavery. Not a term, not a 4-year, 8-year. They sold themselves into a life of slavery to be sent to that island. You talk about laying down your life for the gospel. And the story came for the last 200 years that as they stood up on that ship, their little church family was on the dock weeping. Their families was on the little dock and they were weeping and waving bye to them two boys, never see them again. And said them two young men in chains. Said they looked at them weeping and as the ship pulled away, one of them hollered out. And what he hollered became a battle cry the next 200 years. Here's what he said. Because he was brokenhearted that they were brokenhearted. And he said, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. We're going to go get them for him. And we'll see y'all on the other side."
Amen.
I don't know whatever happened to them. I don't know the rest of the story, but they carried the gospel to that island. And I guarantee you, I don't know whatever happened to them, but I know where they're at now.
Yes.
They're safe. Is the young man safe? Is the young man safe? If you're not saved, you're not safe. I'm not going to re-preach my message. You know what the Lord spoke to your heart. I want you to bow your heads. Come and play. I want everybody to stand. Make it easy to move. Is the young man safe? Is the young man safe? Does anybody want to come pray? She's going to make music. Does any young men want to come down here and pray? God spoke to your heart.